Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anna May, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you. And may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Welcome to Crosstalk. We're happy to have with us today Diane Forrest. Welcome, Diane.
Hello. How are you?
We're good. How about you?
Glad to have you, Diane.
We're thrilled.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share.
Okay, we're thrilled to have you. And I'm going to go ahead and start with the first question. When and where did you get saved and what brought you to that decision?
I got saved in 1990 in the summertime. I don't have the exact date in mind, but it was in the summertime of 1990. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Central Church of God. Ted and I were divorced at the time. We had gotten married in 1981 and we were together for 6 years. And then we ended up separated and divorced. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years into the divorce, I gave my heart to the Lord. And I thank God for that because I started seeing things more with the Lord's eyesight, spiritual eyesight, and greater understanding. But in 1990, I gave my heart to the Lord, and the Lord started, He started healing me. He started changing my mind. He changed my direction. And Ted and I ended up divorced for a full 6 years, and it was a good 3.5 years after the divorce that, after I gave my heart to the Lord, that he gave his heart to the Lord. And then the Lord brought us back together and we remarried, and we've been remarried 32 years now.
Well, praise God.
And so, yeah. Yes, I consider that a pivotal time, that day that I gave my heart to the Lord. You know, I was raised knowing about Jesus Christ. My mother and father would take us to church on Easter and Christmas time. But we were raised as heathens. We were traveling people, and our mode of living and how we made our living, it was, we didn't live for the Lord at all. We knew of him, but we did not live for him. And we always visited around churches, and we always had the lingo. We always talked about, you know, if the Lord wills, or thank the Lord. And we always had the lingo, but we were not saved people. And our lifestyle testified to that.
Amen.
And when I left my husband and we separated and divorced, and a couple of years into it, I gave my heart to the Lord fully. I became a born-again Christian. And one of my cousins was at the church at the time and saw me respond to the altar call for salvation. And they come up to me afterwards and they said, "You have just made the greatest decision Amen. Of your life." And I can say that, my goodness, we're talking now 34 years later. I don't regret one moment of serving the Lord and giving my life to him. I have Amen. Failed him many times, but he has never failed me once.
Amen. Amen. That was beautiful, Diane.
That was a beautiful testimony.
Well, come to me when you're talking is he's the God of restoration.
Yep.
Yes, he is.
He drawed you in salvation, and even in your life and everything you had going on, he restored that as well, you know?
Yes, he did. I can truthfully say, Anime, that he restored my mind. He restored my heart. You know, it was a work in progress. When you are married 6 years and it's like War of the Roses, and then you're divorced for 6 years, there's a lot of water that
sure.
flows under the bridge.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
there's a lot of things that's got to be worked through, if you would, like the layers of the onions got to be peeled back and got to be exposed and got to be dealt with. But if you're willing, the Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 1 and 18, he says, "Come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool." And he says something that's very important. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen. But if you rebel and refuse, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. All he needs is a willingness in us to allow him to change us more in his image, to heal us from hurts, angers, bitterness, unforgiveness. All he needs is for us to be a yielded, willing vessel.
Amen.
And his word says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Amen.
That was beautiful.
That really was.
That jumped out at me, too, that there's hope. You know what I mean? No matter what, there's hope. So we're going to move to our next question. How did you get into ministry, or how did you feel called to serve God?
We, when Ted and I remarried in 1993, I served the Lord from the moment I got saved. I found a local church. It was a Gorger church down in the Carolinas, and I served the Lord faithfully. And then Ted and I remarried, and we came, I was in Richmond here when we remarried, and we were up under, it had been Billy McKenzie and Peggy had been the pastors, but when we remarried, Cool Lowell Young was the pastor here in Richmond, and that was in 1993, and we have been serving here ever since. In fact, we've only left twice, two summers before we came into full-time ministry. We only went away twice in those, all of those years. We have stayed right here, and we have served in the local body, in the church. How did we get called into full-time ministry? We served faithfully. We served in the ministry of helps and the cleaning, in the hospitality, in the cooking, in the nursery. Whatever we could do, we did.
Amen.
And then about 1998, it was presented to the body. I will never forget it. It was presented to the body that if we wanted to go further, that we would have to make a decision to consecrate ourselves fully unto him. And we would have to make a decision that we would step in, into that consecration and separation from the things of the world. And we would say, yes, Lord. And as it was presented to us, I'll never forget that day. I heard in my heart, the Lord call my name. And I knew I was called into full-time ministry. And we made some decisions to change some things and let go of some things in our life that that were just not becoming full-time ministers. And we made that decision, and we don't regret it whatsoever. That was in 1998. And in 2003, Ted became the pastor of the church here in Richmond, and he has pastored now 21 years here.
And it always seems to me like when God calls somebody that, they're always doing the ministry of helps or picking up chairs. Or
we've heard that a lot.
We've heard it a lot. Yep. It started faithful in the little things. I make you ruler over the big. You know, that's usually how it goes, Diane.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for that servant's heart to serve him in any capacity.
That's right.
It's not title. It's serve him. Lord, do you need, and do you know, I've been the pastor's wife here for 21 years. I still willingly go in and do the nursery. I still go in and do the cleaning. I still go in. I just want to serve, and I have failed him. I'm not patting myself or pinning roses here. I have failed him many times in the years, and I don't think that he expected us to walk in perfection. I think he expected us. He wants us to walk in humility and receive the help he has for us when we do stumble and fall, when we do fail. But I am a servant by heart.
Amen.
But, you know, that's what the Lord said. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served.
That's right.
But to be a servant to all.
That's right.
That's Amen.
Right. How important do you think it is, then, to have your husband on board with you, or vice versa, you be on board with your husband ministry support system?
I think it's very important. Mm-hmm. The Word of God says that the two shall become one. Mm-hmm. And whatever we do, we're supposed to do it together, almost like yoked together.
Yes.
And it's almost impossible if you are truly yoked for one to go in one direction and the other to go in the other direction.
Yep.
It's almost impossible. And I think that it's very important that we both received the call almost at the same time. Mm-hmm. We both knew it, and we both made the decision, and we said, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. And of course, we've struggled. We've learned. It's all a learning curve. Mm-hmm. It's all a learning process. But it's very, very important that the two be equally yoked. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that's speaking, you know, and we always take that in marriages and that. And absolutely, I agree with that. But it also is so much more beneficial if two Christians are yoked together in the call of ministry, because then they're not fighting against one another, pulling against one another, straining against one another. And I think that's invaluable.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, that was, you explained that beautiful, because I know what a yoke is and I know the concept of it, but I never, till you said right now, thought about pulling in two different directions. Do you know what I mean? That never really sunk into my head, that when you're yoked, it was a wooden thing that went over their head. If you're unevenly yoked with the world, they're going to pull you in the wrong direction. And that was a really...
That's right.
I've heard it a million times, but I never thought about it in that way. So our next question to you is, whatever you want to share with us, who was an influence to you or some standout moments throughout your years of Christianity?
An influence, a great influence on my life would be my father. My father gave his heart to the Lord at an older age. But when he did, he fully surrendered his life. It was a beautiful thing to see. Mm-hmm. My father was a man, always a man of integrity and principle, but now he became a man of God, of integrity and principle. And my father was a great influence on my life and on my understanding of what a good man was. And then not only just a good man, but a godly man. And I thank the Lord for my father. My father went on to be with the Lord in 2015. And I always dreaded that day that I would maybe have to, you know, live without my father. Because naturally, when I was separated from my husband, I went home to my mother and father, and they helped raise my children, and we were very close. But the Lord, my father led such an example and set such an example for us to follow in how to go through the pitfalls of life, the ups and downs, the disappointments, and the victories, and how to even carry the victories well. Because, you know, sometimes success can be detrimental if we don't know how to carry success well in God. Carry it his way. We can become prideful or arrogant. We can forget who we were and only concentrate on who we are and lose the humility. And my father never did that. And I thank God for that influence. As far as pivotal moments in my walk with the Lord, the pivotal moment was when I realized that my son had fully gave his heart to the Lord. We have two children. My daughter went straight from the cradle to the cross. My Betty Ann has just followed the Lord and has just really been a model daughter. She's in the ministry with us here, her and her husband here in Richmond. But my son was different. He was curious. I dubbed him my Curious George. And he followed in some old pathways and some old footsteps. And it was a long period of time where it was in and out, up and down, and it was some tumultuous years. But I praise God today. I can declare that my boy has gave his heart fully to the Lord.
Praise God. Amen.
And he is serving the Lord in ministry also. And that, I guess, would be one of the most memorable things. Of course, anytime we see, we've been in this long enough now that we are dedicating them to the Lord. And then my husband is marrying them in marriage and dedicating their own children.
Right.
So we've been in it to see the growth and different families and different people. And it is very, very rewarding to know, you know, I now understand what the Apostle Paul said when he would write the letters to the churches and the epistles, how it blessed his heart to hear they were doing so well and growing in the things of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
And every day is an opportunity to see God moving and changing the lives of the people around us. And it's just, it's rewarding. You know, what we have here is temporary. Mm-hmm. Where we're going is eternal. Mm-hmm. And my counsel to everybody is this. Paul said to Timothy in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life. And that word, lay hold of eternal life, means deliberately seek after it. And everything we say, everything we do, everywhere we go, every action, every thought, intent of the heart, it all adds up to, are we laying hold of eternal life? Are we weighing it in the balance and seeing how is this going to affect my eternity? And he said, lay hold on eternal life. He said, deliberately seek after eternal life.
Amen.
And that is my prayer. You know, it's the last thing was, before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to share on your heart? And it would be that our people would lay hold of eternal life. There is so much to grab the attention and distract our people. We are a blessed people. God has blessed our people. But the enemy can at times use those blessings and turn them against us if we're not careful and distract us and cause us to be so wrapped up in the temporary, what's around us right now, that we're not looking up. And we've got to not be looking around. You know, the Laodicean church, they were guilty of looking around instead of looking up. Mm-hmm. And my prayer for our people is that while we are here and we occupy until he comes and we continue on in the mission that he's called us to, being blessed, the Bible says, Solomon said that we were to enjoy the fruit of our labors. There's nothing wrong with that, but that we never lose sight of eternal life, that this is all temporary, and eternity is waiting for every one of us.
Amen.
Amen.
And I will say this in closingly. My prayer is that our people realize the necessity of not only making Jesus Christ our Savior, but our Lord also.
Mm-hmm.
We have no problem with receiving the salvation and looking and calling on him for as Savior, but we struggle with the Lordship, because the Lordship means that he has rule over me.
That's right.
He is my Lord. He has authority over me. I have turned my will and my way. And my prayer is, Lord, help us to not only make you our Savior, but our Lord, and allow you Lordship over our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Couldn't have been said better. I ain't going to lie. I've really enjoyed you've ministered to me, this
Amen.
Podcast.
Me
and you brought up Great. Your daughter, and I just wanted to say I enjoyed her music. This summer was at back at Bloom. When we were there,
yes.
I'm saying the
Thanks.
Summer, the spring, incredible, incredible ministry. And you can see where you and your husband is sold into their lives. And now you're reaping the crop. Like you said, there's
and
ones.
And we're reaping it.
Yep, that you've
that's
dedicated.
Right. Even in our son.
And Mary.
That's right, even in our
kids.
Son. Uh-huh. We just keep reaping. You know, that parable of the sower,
mm-hmm.
It talks about the different soils, and it talks about the seed, but the Bible calls it the parable of the sower. And I gleaned something out of that one day. And if so, no matter what, don't look at the response. Don't look at the results. So, no matter what, one plants, one waters, but God brings the increase.
Amen.
And we have continued sowing, and we have reaped a beautiful, bountiful harvest in our two children serving the Lord, and marriages where they are equally yoked, even with their husbands and their wives, and that they are raising their children up in the things of God, and we are blessed beyond measure. I appreciate this opportunity just to break the bread of life and share testimonies. They overcame
Amen.
Him by the blood of the Lamb
Amen.
And the word of
Amen.
Their testimony.
Amen.
Well, we sure appreciate you coming on, Diane, and we thank you for taking time to do it and supporting our ministry through taking time out of your day to give us a heartfelt, very heartfelt
Amen.
Testimony that really, I loved it.
Amen. It was a pleasure to listen to you, and I greatly appreciate you coming on. It's really
Amen.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Diane.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure. Thank you for the privilege.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast, and remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you missed. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free, and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.